Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts. Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Candyman, a podcast where we're not talking about the original Candyman, where Virginia Madison joked, or was it a joke, that the bees got their own trailer. Instead, we're going to be talking about Sweet Tooth on Netflix. I'm Alex.
Respect the bee actors out there. You know, Jerry Seinfeld started as a bee and later went on to become the star of a beloved sitcom. Give him some credit. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete, and we are going to be talking about Sweet Tooth Season 2, Episode 7, I'll Find You, and then later on in the podcast, we are going to be reviewing 100 grand, not the money, but the candy bar.
Oh, I messed up. I have $100,000.
Okay.
I was going to lick every
single... You can let us
know
about the taste.
Oh, man, I'm going to regret eating it, but it'll be worth it for the podcast.
Yeah. Now, before
it's funny,
we...
Oh, but, well, before we get to that, the name of this episode being I'll Find You, because 100 grand, not an easy candy bar to get your hands on. This is like an antiquated...
They're all over the place.
Yeah, you live in a little castle of 100 grands.
I don't know how you chose this one, Pete. This is the candy to me when you get like that budget sack around Halloween time where it's like... Like we did last episode, it's like Nestle Crunch, and there's a bunch of Hershey bars, and then somewhere you're like, 100 grand, what's that? Huh? But this was one of your top choices, so I'm excited to check it out. We are going to be talking about the episode, so why don't we recap it, and spoilers ahoy, obviously. This is a big mythology dump episode, as Gus and Jep and Amy and the Animal Kids have all made their way to Yellowstone, or rather they do over the course of the episode. They go back to the house that Gus grew up in. By the end of the episode, at the very least, Wendy knows that Amy is sick and dying. Maybe the rest of the kids do too.
I think they do.
Yeah, by the end of it, yeah. I mean, everybody was sad there, so it seemed like she told them all, and they were doing that, I love you hugs and stuff. Yeah. It was very emotional. This was an emotional app.
It was a very emotional app.
And
in the middle of all the emotional stuff, Gus is listening to the tape, the birdie that he gets from Bear finally, because they link up with Bear again. And we get to see a ton of backstory going back to that scene where Birdie and Papa split in the first season.
Remember,
it's great to see him.
Yeah.
Great to see him.
Took Gus over to Yellowstone. Here we get to see what happened with Birdie. And what happened with Birdie is she was almost immediately captured, forced by the head of the project to try to find a cure.
Jillian
revealed that she is patient zero. She's the one that caused the sick. And basically, you got the sick, you got Gus. And she wants Birdie to go after Gus, and Birdie's like, absolutely going to do that. And then immediately is like, absolutely not going to do that. And instead uses the information that she found about Jillian's ancestor, which is where all of this came from, and tracks him down to Alaska. So that's why she's in Alaska. But last little bit is, by the end of the episode, Abbott has killed the entire animal army.
Just stacking bodies, bro.
Oh, my God. Classic comic book cover there.
They got real savvy at fighting after the Air Buds went down.
Yeah, pretty much. And we get some more Air Buds in this episode, which was a lot of fun. Rufus, and we see the OG
the cameo in the beginning. That was awesome.
The
fun
OG
reveal.
Air Bud is the one who takes Birdie to Alaska. So
also I want to do the patented
Dolly
Dalbatron temp check here. Maybe one of the greatest Bobby lines of all time. He's kind of switching over into Schwarzenegger era.
Are we doing this right at the top?
I mean, come on, baby. Let's do the top
check. Here's what I say. Last episode, we were like, absolutely, Bobby's going to roll up in the tank. We predicted, or you called it out, Justin, that he was going to do the Michael Dukakis thing with the Army hat on. That's absolutely what I thought was going to happen. What happened exceeded my wildest expectations.
Was it? Let me ask you.
Cannot believe the show.
Was it expensive to replace your laptop? cried hot Bobby tears into and ruined while
I
watching.
Straight up screamed with joy when Bobby popped out of the tank wearing those goggles, looked directly in the camera and said, "Bobby, I'm back."
Where does this guy get off, Bobby?
Unbelievable. Slow Bobby's clap. Back and better than ever.
Did think they could beat the Shawshank moment that they did. Can't wait for the season finale, which is going to be nonstop Bobby trying out action movie lines.
What do you think? What do you predict for the last episode? I predict Bobby's going to get in Abbott's face, open his mouth, and a tiny Bobby mouth will come out like aliens.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's my
get
call.
Get away from her, you bitch.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be like a Mr. Freeze Schwarzenegger. I think he's going to stay in the Schwarzenegger genre. You know, he did the Bob, you know, I'll be back kind of thing. I think he's going to do like a Mr. Freeze line or something.
He's going to be like ice to Bobby you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God, okay. I hope so. I'd be so happy.
That makes sense. The phrase ice to Bobby you is what he's going to say.
He's going to have a freeze gun.
So many great Bobby moments in this episode. I mean, that was obviously the top tier, but then his strut walk down the bus.
He was having a moment.
Great. And then I had completely forgotten about this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but so they get back to Gus and Bubba's house, and the whole reason that Gus had to leave is because all of their food got wrecked and ruined. Like, he burned it, but also it was infected with bugs, and the garden was ruined, so he had to leave. And then they get back there, and I was like, oh, my God, what are they going to eat? And then Bobby saves the day. He picks some potatoes from the ground. Incredible. Bobby,
how does it work? Does he smell? Can he smell potatoes underground?
Yeah. Yeah,
how does he know where they are?
Yeah. Potato smells.
He's just tunneling around when he gets to a new place, checking out all the things, what's going on. Yeah.
What did you do?
Yeah,
it's like you get to an Airbnb, you're going to go to every room of the Airbnb.
Exactly.
Bobby does the same thing, but under the ground, and that's where he finds potatoes.
You go to every room and what, smell it? What are you doing in every room? You're just like,
just to check it out. You're in a new place. You want to see what it looks like. Where are the secret rooms? What's going on in that closet?
What's
down there in that basement?
You're the reason why Airbnb people are suspicious. Because you got you sniff poking around in all the doors you're not supposed to open.
It's a new place. You got to check it out.
Well, I think we've reviewed all the important things of the episode, so why don't we move on to the candy review? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I did want to mention something. I think we scared off James Brolin, because last episode we were like, what is he even doing here? He's not providing any narration.
Cut him.
Nowhere would you be heard this episode.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. What I like to think is James is taking this episode off to think of something really profound to say for the last episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could almost hear him breathing in the background. It's like, Bobby. I heard him whisper Bobby at one point.
Teeth are sweet, but you know what's sweeter than teeth? Humans. Oh, no, that's not good. Hold on. Something sweet tooth. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Release the scratch track. I want to hear James' outtakes. Let's go.
Yeah. This tea is hot, and tea soothes your throat. But throats are made for eating and breathing and... Hold on, I'm going to take it from the top. I'm sorry.
James, you can just read what we've written for you. You don't need to, like, make it up. You're just...
The words on a page are how we process information. But is the information what we're processing, or is it processing us?
Well,
I should read that, right? I should read the stuff you got. Okay.
We got it. We're good, James. We're good. It's a wrap.
Okay, bring in Josh. We're going to do this again, but this time.
Bring in the next Brolin. We'll take another Brolin.
Yeah. Anyway, great episode. Pete, go on.
Great episode. Yeah, I wanted to talk about the emotions. I mean, there was a lot of emotional moments in this episode. Some group hugs, the bear hug with Gus and the big man. That was nice. Yeah, and
be careful when you say that, because there's a character named Bear, so it gets a little confusing.
That's what I mean.
No, okay. I'm just saying, you said the bear hug, and I was like, when did Bear hug somebody? But
no, there was the group hug where it was Bear, Gus, and the big man.
Oh, okay. So just say group hug. Don't say bear hug.
Yeah. Bear hug. It was a bear hug. They all took their clothes off and hugged.
Rubbed their backs up against each other like a tree. Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm.
It was a good, this episode sort of had it all going on at once. Like we talked about this, where all of the threads that felt so disparate at the beginning of the season are all bottlenecking here in Yellowstone, where everything's going to go down and it's not going to be pretty.
Yellowstone, I fear, or Yellow Walkman? What? Come on.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about
I know you tried to rush to get to your candy bar, but we can talk about things without you trying to make a segue to get faster. You're like, sweet tooth candy bar, 100 grand, yum, yum, good night.
I did love the exchange about the tape.
Cassette tape. Yeah.
Bear tried to be like, that's a cassette tape, Gus. And then Gus was like, oh, what do you do with it? What's going on? And then Bear also clearly has no idea what it actually is or what it does. That was very fun, that whole scene, and Jep having to instruct them about it.
Oh, trying to explain to kids what cassette tapes are. It's fun. It never gets old.
It was also funny because in the scene where he finds the Walkman, he's like, well, I think I got something that's going to help out. And they cut. But really, it would be Sweet Tooth being like, what is that?
Yeah.
Is that for something?
How is that supposed to help? Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Netflix should release a post-Crumble Kids react to video.
That'd be fun.
That would be a good time. That was very fun. How do we want to break this up? Because there's so many things going on.
Just the mom flashbacks. We could talk about.
Yeah, why don't we talk about the mom flashbacks? Because that's like a heavy mythology thing. I thought this information was great. Like, I feel like we've been talking a lot the past couple of episodes how the show rolls out exposition in the middle of emotional scenes is very smart. Because there's a lot of stuff that we find out here about how the Crumble started, about the backstory of Birdie, how she ended up in Alaska. We get
Patient
that cameo,
Zero,
as we mentioned, from the Air Bud, all of that stuff. But it grounds it in Gus is listening to his mother's voice for the first time. And that's a beautiful, wonderful thing that keeps our heart going while our head is going at the same time.
Oh, that's a nice way of saying it.
Yeah, wow.
The heart is going and the head.
That's why he had to go to the roof.
Tuning out.
That's why he had to go to the roof, you know, so he had enough room for his head and heart, you know, to soar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, wow. Listening to his mom. Look at all that. What are you guys reading off inspirational office posters?
Hang in there.
Both of you. I did like all this backstory. It was very funny to me that she's like, I found this egg, this magic egg, 98.6. There's a human in here, basically. And then down at the other end of the egg, there's a fucked up big poison egg.
Was that what that was? Because
I think the idea was that was the egg. There were two eggs. There was it's not which came first, the chicken or the egg. It's which came first, the good Gus egg or the bad egg full of sick that I guess Jillian injected.
Interesting. Okay, I didn't quite pick up on that. You're almost definitely right about that. But so, like, that was the other viable or viable-ish embryo was that large egg, which is full of the sick.
They didn't – yeah, she didn't say exactly what it was. It was, the other – but I don't know. We didn't – there wasn't a heartbeat in that one maybe. Or, like, I don't know what was happening with that inside. But she did say later that she injected it into her, Jillian.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Then that was also interesting. I love the way that they kind of, you know, we're talking about editing and releasing information throughout the season, but like the way that they were having the we're out of money funding thing as she's kind of finding that egg was such a cool kind of like crossfade moment where everything kind of came together in this cool way. And then all of a sudden it like all went quiet and she kind of like turned up the heartbeat and everyone went nuts.
Well, and I also love...
it turned into a scientist party, popping champagne. Woo!
Not that we started in a necessarily realistic place at the beginning of the season, but I do think as the season has gone on, one element that I've been missing a little bit, and maybe it's purposefully left off, is these fairy tale elements that we had really in spades in the first season. And we get back to that with that cottage in the middle of the woods in Yellowstone, but also just seeing the heartbeat going and that theme of the episode in that egg. It just feels like, you know, like a dragon egg or something, or just like this fairy tale creature egg that you can see the heart beating in. The way that Birdie draws the little heart on the incubator as well, I thought was very sweet. And again, sort of almost this fairy tale element. So very cool. I was really
into I think that's the magic of the original Sweet Tooth comic that they've done a great job of translating here onto the screen, is that it is a fairy tale, but a fairy tale rooted in science, where all of the usual fairy tale elements are replaced with scientific things that we find out as it goes on. Like the sort of the magical things are traced back to these scientific choices. And that's really cool. And I think it works super well in this episode specifically. But that makes me wonder, what is it about the sick that you think targets the pinky? What's going on in that pinky that makes it wiggle?
What are you, trying to say, that it's like some kind of Italian thing or something where it attacks the pinky and it's like, hey, look at this pinky ring, huh? Hey,
what is that? That's what I'm saying. Yep, that's a Goodfellas plague.
Yeah. Funny how.
But, well, it's just, because visually it's such a good thing. It's such a great thing for the show. Yeah. It scares Pete when we do it.
Stop it.
But I'm curious if someone had to explain what the biology is. Is it because it's like an extremity? Like, are the pinky toes also popping with the sick?
I don't know. I assume it's just like the smallest thing is causing the biggest problems, which is one of the themes of the show, maybe.
Wow.
You're saying the pinky's the smallest thing in the body.
Name one smaller thing.
Oh my God, this is getting weird.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I can't think of another small thing on a body. Pinky toes, that's smaller.
Smaller? Yours are smaller? Mine are larger. Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah. My toes go from the smallest to the largest.
No. I got these prehensile toes like a monkey. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense.
The idea that you have like your big toe is the smallest and it goes up, so you have like outside feet. You got finger toes.
Oh, God. That's terrible. Anyway, yes, I really like this storyline. I thought it was really interesting as well that this narration is to Richard, a.k.a. Pubba. But Gus is listening to it and getting the same emotion from it. So it really worked. Like, I think it's a tricky line to do something like that and make it hit home emotionally. But everything was firing on all cylinders with that, with the performances, but also the music playing in the background is so heartwarming and heartfelt throughout. Good stuff.
Well, I would throw out there that on the music tip, all the needle drops I think are great in the show. It's a very like bluegrassy, folky thing. That
plus the get on the bus, Gus line.
I was
going
to say, do you think they all high fived when they listened to that song? They're like, we got to get Gus on a bus.
It's the only time that line has made sense in all of the listening. So 50 ways to leave your lover. Yes. Wow. Because Paul Simon at one point in that era of Paul Simon's when he was writing songs by being like, give me some words that rhyme and I'll say them real fast.
It was hilarious to me that they managed to work it out so that Rufus was giving up Bobby as they played 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. And then they immediately went into Get on the Bus, Gus, and cut to Gus on the bus. And I was like, you're crushing
it. This TV show writes itself.
That little moment of him handing Bobby over was such a, you know, like awesome moment for Jep. Like he completely understands what it's like to be attached to one of these guys and like to see somebody else kind of caring for these so-called freaks was very heartwarming, very touching.
Not that I want to keep giving Netflix promo ideas, but they 100% should release like a Beetle Bailey style comic book of Rufus and Bobby in the tank.
Oh my God.
Right?
Anything with Rufus and Bobby in the tank would be glorious. Great stuff. That's a spinoff that I want to watch. Yeah. Oh, just, yes. Oh my God. Just them learning the ins and outs of the tanks as they go on adventures together. I mean, come on.
Rufus being like, so what you do is we'll open the top and you say, I'll be back. And then Bobby's like, that wouldn't make sense because I am back. Okay. He's like, okay, say Bobby am back. Well, that doesn't make sense because it's not correct English. Just a real long workshopping there, his tagline scene.
Yeah, and eventually they come back around after a lot of brainstorming. They're like, I know we said this half an hour ago, but...
Yeah, let's go with Bobby and back. Bobby and back is the real...
One thing I felt like they hit a little too hard is the I'll find you. Like, I got it. I mean, it's also the title of the episode, and they hit it pretty hard throughout. Like, I felt it like the first couple of times, but the third one, I was like, okay, guys, no, I got it.
Well, I take your point. There's a lot of people finding each other in this, but I think they subverted it in the two major ones. With Bear and Wendy, Bear doesn't say anything at the beginning, which I thought was great. I really liked that playing of it. Like, sort of when this thing you've been chasing and you catch it and you're like, I don't know how to deal with this.
I don't know what to say.
So I'm just going to not disturb it. Yeah, I'm just going to let it be and know that I can approach it again. And but she tries and it doesn't call work again.
That she takes where the tiger's like, don't you waste a second, was just so moving and so.
Well, and as soon as she was like, yeah, I'll give you very specific directions to how to find where I am, I was like, this is like, a
you
disaster.
Just gave him that. Yeah.
But back to the other
walkie-talkie when anybody can be listening.
Open walkie. When you're on set, you never talk on an open walkie because you don't know who's listening.
Let's go to channel. Yeah, you do the old let's switch to channel 3. Channel. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a little production talk from I'm a line producer and Pete's a PA, I guess.
PA for life.
PA for life. The other way they subverted it is Birdie doesn't come find him. She does the exact opposite. She knows he's in Yellowstone, but she goes to Alaska to try to find a cure. And I do think it's interesting. We don't see Sing at all in this episode, but the idea of like Sing and Birdie both trying to on their quest to cure this, Sing just banging his head against the wall, can't figure it out. Success, failure, ruining everything. Birdie just is like, I'm going to go. She seems like she's determined, successful. We saw at the beginning of the season, she finds the Thacker ship, and maybe the key to it is all right there, since we learned this episode a little bit of backstory on the whole origin
family
of
history. Yeah.
Well, so just to follow that up then, and I don't necessarily have an opinion here, I'm just curious to hear from you. Do you think Birdie is right and Sing is wrong, or what's your take on that?
Well, really, they're probably both right, but I think Birdie actually has the right info, and this is how I've put it together, because the show shows and doesn't tell us in a good way, but it means like we don't really know exactly. But the way I've put it together is Sing thinks that the plague came from Gus and the other hybrids. But as we see in this episode, it's just happened sort of simultaneously, and there isn't like necessarily a direct one than the other, a chicken or egg. It's sort of a chicken or egg situation. Like, we don't know which came first. So you can't, if it was linear and it was like the sick happened and led to this kid, then it would be right what Sing's doing. But instead, making some bad guesses that is why he's wrong here. Meanwhile, Birdie has the information about how Jillian got this, whatever that she's built these eggs out of from Alaska, from the Thacker ship, when Thacker was trying to find this this fountain of youth thing. So she goes to Alaska, which she knows is the source of whatever they caused the sick. And we don't know yet, but I think we're assuming, and maybe we're setting up a season 3 where they will sort of finally bring all this together. She's finding the source of the what they made the sick out of in the lab.
Yeah, makes sense to me. I did want to jump back to the bear and tiger thing that you guys mentioned.
Oh my God.
Are you shipping them at all? I feel like there's like a little something going on there that's more than mutual respect and friendship. The way they're talking about finding each other, do you guys feel that?
I don't know. I mean, it would be adorable, but I'm
bears and tigers sleeping together.
Yeah. Lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my. Threesome. Yeah. Thruple.
I don't know. Like, clearly they have a bond. I'm glad Tiger survived that animal army massacre so we could see them together. And I really like how Bear is developing here, particularly over the course of this episode. Yeah. Like, you were talking about the Wendy stuff and her having that classic scene of like, I'm going to slowly tell you the information I need to tell you until somebody interrupts us. Okay, now I can't finish telling you what I'm telling you. Yeah. And it's fine. I felt that coming. And at the same time,
I mean,
got it.
Mom needed to talk to Wendy before she keels over. I mean, that the silhouette shot of the two of them kind of like gorgeous, holding hands. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And the fact that like not only did Jep get to see that, but Barry got to see that was really cool.
Well, but what I was going to say, sorry, about that is like Bear knowing about Amy and Bear just straight up stepping up and being like, yes, I whatever you need, Amy, I know about this without saying it out loud. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there for those kids. I'm going to make this happen. And then she does have a conversation with Jep later where Jep's like, we're going to have to be there with those kids. And Bear's like, I know. So it's great.
I really liked Bear sort of taking the torch that's being passed to her as the mother of these kids.
But that's also an interesting thing where Bear was nice enough to be like, what do you need? You know, like, is there anything that you need? Whereas Bear to Tiger was like, hey, one more thing before I go. Yeah, kill all those people that we really have a hard time with. Okay, peace out. I was like, oh, yeah, one more thing. Just take care of all the last men for me. All right, sweet.
Well, they wanted them to do that also.
Yes, they did. But, you know, it's like, hey, we're leaving with some of the bigger hitters and we're running for our lives. But if you could just like kind of like take care of all that, that'd be great.
Regardless, I think Becky is good. I would put her less in a mom thing than she is literally in a big sister position. Like she's the older kid who there's a bunch of younger kids. And she's like, mom, I'll take care of them for you. And Jep is definitely
a cool aunt.
Yeah, she's the cool Aunt Becky. Aunt Becky?
Yeah.
From Full House. There you go.
Oh, Full House, you mean the prequel to Fuller House?
Yes, exactly.
I'm sort of a Fuller first, House,
right?
Yeah. More of a Fuller House guy. Yeah, I hear you.
I'm more of a Gen Z guy. You
guys. So that was cool. And I also thought all the stuff with Jep was cool. Like he's
sort put it of away, even. Crinkle.
Come on, Crinkle. Man,
We're almost there. He was very even this episode, I felt, in a way. Like he's already been through Jep. Yeah, he's already kind of been through his emotional catharsis. We've seen his backstory. So this episode, he's with the kids. He's with Gus. He's got what he needs. Yeah. He's got
him running through the woods in the night, like freaked out Gus left, was terrifying. I was like, no, Gus, don't leave him. And then Gus being like, don't worry, Jep, I'll never do that. I was like, holy shit.
Well, I also think in the comic, Jeppard is exhausted always. And I think in the series, our Jep here is a little less so. But I think they are still playing it like he is tired. He's had a long couple days here. I mean, they all, let's remember, this is the timeline.
When you're tired, you know what picks you up is a little chocolate.
There's actually a bunch of stuff still to talk about. I wanted to say it was great to see Will Forte here, like we said.
Yes.
I almost wanted to see him hanging out at the party, just like partying with the scientists. But I was like, they'll never pay to have him back for new stuff this episode. But it was great to see him in the flashback.
Yep.
We got to mention that Surf's Up Blondie's out. Surf Up's Blondie, no more.
No more? Did he die?
What do you mean?
He's not in this episode at all.
Oh, he's just not in this episode.
Well, that doesn't mean he's no more.
Surf's Up Blondie is going to come back with James Brolin and Sing, and the three of them are going to team up together.
You want to talk about
that? Would be great.
When you have Brolin a broken doctor and a blonde guy, sometimes.
All right. Anyways,
as a voiceover artist, you never get to appear on camera. What?
That should be the last shot of Sweet Tooth, and you'd be like, well, I'm James Brolin. Good night.
Good night.
Go ahead, Justin, get to your last couple of things. Let's go.
We didn't talk about, sorry, I
just wanted to
Justin,
we're
going through Justin's list right now. And then we'll
be back. We can jump back and forth. We didn't talk about Earl Elephant eating a pine cone. That was a fun moment.
Yeah. Well, I had another Earl thing. Are they going to drink the trunk water that came out of Earl?
Your Bub's trunk water?
They're like, go. Dude, this is a post-apocalyptic,
bro. Come on, bro.
Everyone else has regular water, and he's blasting trunk water into the.
I agree. That was a big surprise to me. We haven't seen him do that yet.
They might still filter it a little bit.
You think he's got a Brita up his nose?
Pete, I'm not drinking water that comes out of your nose. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not suggesting you should, but their trunk is.
But why? Earl's got a clean trunk?
That's right.
He's hand sandies dropping into his trunk before we skirt right.
He just had a pine cone. His trunk isn't clean.
The pine cone helps.
I will say pine cone is the closest to hand sanitizer.
There you go.
All right,
it's like a natural sanitizing agent.
Have you guys, I wanted to ask this while I was watching the episode, have you guys ever played the game where you have to fill the water, get as much of the clean water as possible as quickly as possible, and then show who's strongest by getting the most logs outside?
Yeah, is this your first post-apocalyptic
I'm just adventure? Wondering, did you win or, like, did you lose that game?
Third place.
Oh, very
wow.
Nice.
Wow, pretty strong.
Great. Fun game.
Elephant Boy beat me out, so it was tough.
Nice. I was trying to get
it. Then you had to drink his nose water.
It's delicious.
Yeah. I'll have a tap, sparkling, or nose water. I'll go with that. I'll have
the
nose water.
A hint of ivory in there. It's really quite delicious.
Did you guys? What did you guys think of the pit stop party?
Oh, ain't no party to piss that party.
I saw Bobby tap a keg. Did you guys see that in the background?
That was a dumb choice by Jep, where he's like, okay, just so you know, 5 minutes, that's it for a pit stop. It's just about peeing. I have parked next to this fun playground. Kids, don't use the playground.
Exactly. It's like, all right, we're heading to Key West. We're just going to do 5 minutes at Disney World and then everybody back on the bus.
Yeah, just use the bathroom out front at Disney World.
It was adorable to see them all having a good time. Stop it.
It was just a dumb decision. Bad stop from Jep. If you're going to do that, just stop on the side of the road.
If you see a cool playground, you're going to stop.
But it's kind of like when you...
Oh, God.
When you take, like, your dog for a walk, you got to give him something to go to the bathroom on.
Absolutely. Like Disney World. I really liked the blocking of the scene where Amy is standing as far away from Jep as possible, and that's essentially how she tells him she got sick. Great scene. Very tense. The realization that comes over Jep is he's like, oh, no.
It's
good acting.
What'd you guys think of the booyah moment? I thought the booyah moment.
I was going to ask you about that one as well. We ride or die for this bus. Booyah.
Booyah.
Big booyah. On the Amy and Jep stuff, like, it really, really well played, really well written scene. It hit me back on that line that we talked about, I guess, two episodes ago, where she's like, have these people, when she's in Factory Town and everyone's packed in together, and she's like, have these people even remember there's a plague going on? And then she got it from maybe that exact moment. So, like, really highlighted that moment.
The phone. It was using that crazy lady's phone, you know?
Yeah, I think she wasn't wiping down her groceries. That's what it was. The other thing I want to say, shout out the line, go do your weird deer shit.
Yep, there you go. Got to see that again. Also, Gus drinking syrup. He had a syrup. He got back there and immediately was like, glug, glug on the old syrup. There you go. Speaking of which, why don't we move it on to our latest contender in the syrup cup, which we were very close to determining. We have one candy left for the next episode.
What's nice about 100 grand is they split it for you. You don't have to bite halfway through. Like, it's
halfway through.
If it's split in half for you.
Oh my God.
How big is your bite on a candy bar, Pete? You do a full half?
As much as I can do.
Yeah. Can you get a full 9 inches down your throat, Pete? That's the question.
Gross. I mean, this is a classic Almond Joy format.
Nothing smaller than a pinky.
It's two, definitely. This pinky-sized candy bar is excellent.
I thought it was broken, so I'm glad to hear that. Definitely felt a bunch of them in the store being like, oh, wow, they broke all of these. Oh, wait, maybe there's two bars.
Excuse me, sir. We have to ask you to leave. You've been feeling up all of our candy.
Yeah. So this is rich caramel, milk chocolate, and crispy crunchies. So basically it's like a combo of a Milky Way and a crunch bar?
We went from the crunch bar to this. I thought it was a nice escalation because we're still getting the chocolate and Rice Krispie treats. Now we're adding the caramel as a nice layer, an addition, if you will. It's
our candy sommelier, Pete LePage.
I love a nougaty essential.
Escalation.
This is a nougat.
You were dealing with a man you didn't quite understand.
What's your definition of nougat, bro? Come on, come for me.
This is caramel, and nougat is nougat.
Mm. Yeah, we don't normally talk about this. One downside of this particular candy bar makes it hard to talk on a podcast.
Probably exactly how I like it.
This is very good. I think this is a big contender for me. This is a fave. Because you know what I like about it? It's caramel. One of my faves. The crispiness. Nice texture. This caramel, however, is much different from like your Caramello or even your Snickers.
Right.
It's a little thicker. Mm-hmm. It's more like a Rolo.
Mm-hmm. It's a little too much caramel for me, I think.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Interesting.
I don't know. We all have our takes. But I do like the crispiness, like getting the crispiness.
We reached your caramel limit, huh?
It's just like the caramel's too thick. Like, I'd like to bite into it and get some of that caramel taste and a little bit of the caramel pull mixed with the crunch. But there's so much caramel to the crunch, it doesn't feel even to me, you know? I'd like a Nestle Crunch Bar with caramel in it. That would be pretty good. This, wow.
You're really splitting hairs. This is basically what we're dealing with.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm splitting hairs about candy on our candy review podcast.
Well, I'm just saying, you had us, we ate like, we've eaten 50 different types of candy. And you're like, this one isn't caramel and crispy enough for me.
It's too much caramel.
The crisp is delicious. Nobody's attacking the crisp.
I like the crisp. This is actually, I would say, maybe a better crisp for me than the Crunch Bar in a certain way. Just because it's on the outside, so you get like the crunch first on your way in.
You do get it's more crunchy for sure. Mm-hmm.
Why is it called 100 grand?
I think
that's how much it's worth, man. No, in your mouth, I think, it's so delicious. It's
I remember like, looking this up at one point. I'm probably wrong about this, but I think it was one of those old-timey things, because it's an old-timey candy bar where they're like, why this tastes like 100 grand? It's a rich man's candy bar. And that's pretty much it.
Wow. Here we go.
Great old-timey impression there.
Oh, thanks.
The candy bar was originally called the $100,000 bar. But it was renamed, this is from the Wikipedia page. It was renamed 100 grand in the 80s after a Nestle shakeup.
Ooh. Whoa. No clarification there?
Yeah.
Is there an external link? Yeah. A citation? Do they have a citation for that one?
When the cast of Friends demanded $100,000 per episode in 1996, Nestle delivered full cases of 100 grand bars to each member of the cast.
Oh, my God.
That's lame.
That's
awesome.
Thing. Sending people 100 grands? That would be a great thing to get.
That's Pete's finally.
Anything better in the mail than that?
Pete really kicking himself for turning down the part of Gunther and Friends. Finally.
Gunther, the main person who got $100,000 an episode.
He probably was happy for the candy bars.
Yeah,
probably.
Exactly. Absolutely. Who wouldn't be?
Well, there we go. We're definitely coming down to it. We have one more episode of Sweet Tooth before we wrap this up, and we'll have one more candy to review at the same time. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Sweet Tooth. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on TikTok and Instagram, comicbookclublive.com. For this podcast and many more. Until next time, the Candyman can.
Its first slogan was "Tastes so good, it's almost illegal."
Yeah,
feels unrelated. And the current slogan is "That's rich."
Yeah, it is.
Opposite things.